Pet Chat Time on 2NURFM, and I'm joined by Dr. Kimberly Earle. Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say.
Hello, how are you?
Lovely to see you. Now, we don't know what's happening with Cheryl. She's missing in action, so she may or may not turn up. We'll see. Maybe she's trying to get a park.
That's all right. It'll just be you and I holding down the fort, maybe.
It could be. Now, we've got a lost dog in our reception area at 2NURFM, and hopefully someone will come and claim him because he's beautiful.
Lovely little dog. So it looks like he's sort of his yellow lab color, kelpie sort of body style, super friendly, maybe needs a few more training hours, but that's okay. Super friendly, lovely,
friendly.
And looks like he really loves a ball. Somebody's found a ball for him.
Yeah, and
I thought it was
people.
Like bring your dog to work day or something as I've walked into the studio.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sure Todd Sargent would be upset that he missed this because he loves dogs so much. So, yeah, maybe someone will decide to just take it home. I don't know. But no, probably not. We'll probably give. Who do we give? A call council or something?
Yeah. If nobody turns up, then you want to call council. And they'll scan his microchip and look it up on the registry. And hopefully the contact details will be up to date and we can get him back in touch with his people.
That would be lovely. 2NURFM, this is Pet Chat. And what are you seeing in the surgeries at the moment?
Listen, it's starting to be a busy time of year for us. Spring is always busy after a relatively slow winter. Our clinic has been seeing, we see a lot of exotic pets, so, you know, rabbits and birds and things like that. We've been seeing a raft of sick rabbits, really.
Oh.
High fevers, not doing well, unfortunately, with a pretty high mortality rate. We are concerned about Khaleesi virus. We know that there's mosquitoes around and other biting insects and things like that. So if you've got a pet rabbit, please make sure that they're up to date with their vaccination.
What's Khaleesi virus?
So Khaleesi virus is a virus. It causes rabbit hemorrhagic disease, or the virus is called rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus. There's a few strains around. Originally, Khaleesi virus was released in Australia on purpose to try to help control ferret rabbit populations, but we also have wild type virus now that has migrated down from Asia and things like that. And those are sort of the actual nasty, you know, the worst strains that we have at the moment. And it causes rabbit hemorrhagic disease. So basically, the rabbits can become what we call per-acutely unwell. So like you can, you know, get up in the morning, feed your rabbit and your rabbit looks really normal and you come home after work at the end of the day and the rabbit can be deceased already.
Oh.
Can happen really, really, really quickly. For us, they tend to be presenting with really high fevers. So now rabbits have a high body temperature normally anyway. So for us, you know, a normal body temperature is sort of 37.7 degrees. For dogs, up to 39 degrees is pretty normal. For rabbits, up to 40.5 degrees is quite normal. But these rabbits are presenting to us with temperatures 41.7 degrees. Like, that's really hot. They're on fire. And then they often have very, really vague, generalized symptoms. They're not eating well. Their droppings have stopped, you know, producing. They're dehydrated. The key symptom that we sort of look for that sort of gives you that aha moment is if they start to bleed. And we've definitely had one of those little guys who started to have a nosebleed. And that is because rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus actually causes bleeding from, you know, from the body cavities and orifices and things like that. And it's not treatable. We don't have any treatments for it. We can only support them through it. But it's got a very high mortality rate unless they're vaccinated. There is a vaccine available. In fact, there's a couple vaccines in Australia now, but most people who are seeing lots of rabbits, we're using an updated or a new vaccine. It's been around for about 2 years now. It's a once-a-year vaccination for adult rabbits, and definitely it is pretty good. Definitely worthwhile making sure your rabbits are up to date. And then also making sure that, you know, if they do have exposure to being outside on the grass, if there's muzzies and stuff around, we always tell people who are keeping their rabbits outside to make sure they're in a mosquito-proof enclosure. But it doesn't guarantee, you know, they can, if you move their hutch onto an area of grass where there's been, let's say, fly poop, flies have been in contact with infected rabbit feces, and then they have pooped on the grass and the rabbit goes and eats the grass. They have actually shown the transmission can happen from that small a dose. So it's not a perfect solution. Vaccination is one of those things, you know, prevention is always better than trying to cure it.
For sure.
Yeah. Speak to your local vet if you have a rabbit and they haven't been vaccinated in the last 12 months.
Good idea. Eddie, you've been gifted an aviary and you'd like to know what birds are good to keep in it.
Yeah, I don't know whether my wife's too happy about it, but that's...
Pets as gifts is always a sticky situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a struggle to get it there anyway. I had to pick it up. So anyway, long story short, so I've had birds before, cockatiels.
Yep.
And I love them, but this one's, as I said, it's an aviary. And I'm, one could say, thinking of quails on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, tossing up. I'm not too sure. Finches, parrots, or madrigals, or so a mixture of what goes together.
Yeah, so it depends a little bit on, you know, how the... aviary is put together, you know, the mesh or bar sizing, you know, what kind of birds you can put in it. If you've got something that's got a nice fine mesh, then putting things like finches in it would be quite fine. If it's got obviously wider, you know, sort of mesh, then you don't want anything that's going to be able to get, you know, get their head through it and get stuck, that kind of thing, or other birds coming in to get, you know, try to peck at them and cause problems that way. So then the thing to think about too is, you know, in terms of what you're hoping to get out of it, are you looking to set up the aviary just so you can have some, you know, birds, you want to listen to the nice little chittering and twittering that they do, or you're wanting birds that want to be interactive with you, because that will make a big difference too, whether you have, and maybe whether your wife has a good tolerance for noise. You know, you put things like, I love an aviary full of budgies because I think that they're really charismatic little birds, and they make a relatively pleasant sort of chirping sound, but for some people that's, you know, it can be kind of like they don't stop, they make a lot of noise, you know, until it's evening time, and then they sort of, you know, will settle down.
Yeah. And you have to think about the neighbours too.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, with something like cockatiels or budgies, you don't have to worry about it too much. We've got a neighbour, a fairly distant neighbour, who's got a cockatoo in an aviary outside, and the cockatoo, you know, is a pretty loud screamer, usually twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, and that particular bird doesn't go on for too long. But, you know, if you've got big birds, you've got to think about that. Some birds like sun conures and things like that, they are super noisy, really, really loud, and it's quite an obnoxious sound. As much as I like conures for their personality as pets, they can be really obnoxious. So you have a little think of that. The thing to I guess be mindful of is you want you'd obviously keep, you know, little parrots together. You wouldn't put parrots in with finches very easily. That's asking often for a bit of trouble. Quails on the bottom, not usually going to be too big an issue. They just need to have lots of hiding spots. They can be really, really shy. And when they're stressed, they get sick pretty easily. I don't know. It sort of depends. The world is your oyster, really, Eddie. It really depends on what you're hoping to get out of it.
Like a bit of colour and mainly more for the grandkids when they visit. That is, as I said, with the cockatiels, I've had a, you know, on your shoulder and have a yap to you sort of thing.
That's right,
And with the size of the aviary.
Take them out of it, but I was just looking, having a bit of colour and just, you wouldn't notice.
And certainly people do put, like, you know, budgies and cockatiels together. They can be really good. I just about think you just about can't go past a cockatiel in terms of being a great sort of pet bird. So if you do have an interest in wanting to interact with them, cockatiels are great from that sort of a standpoint. Some people, there's other little sort of birds that you can put in, things like kakarikis. They're a little native New Zealand bird. They're not very friendly, though. They're very shy, but they're usually a nice, lovely little green or yellowy sort of color. So they can be, you know, pretty good, and they're not too aggressive, you know. So again, you could have them in with budgies or with cockatiels.
Size of the aviary depend on the bird?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of commercial aviaries around. They're often, depending on what yours is, but they're often sort of, you know, a meter deep by 1 to 2 meters sort of wide and high. You know, usually they're just enough for a person to get into, stand up in. I don't know, unless yours is particularly large.
It's about that size. It's a bit over a 6x4 trailer. So, and tall enough for me to
stand up in it.
5'10".
Yeah.
So I can get in there and without any problems.
So. Yeah, sure. So, you know, depending on how many birds you wanted to get, you know, an aviary that size could easily house six or eight, you know, sort of small to medium sized parrots. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't want to overstock it.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you want to, you know, ideally you, you know, looking for birds that are nice and healthy and, you know, if you can get them in for a health check somewhere, that sort of thing. Just be mindful too, if you've got, you know, particularly grandkids, if they've got any health issues, asthma and things like that. Some birds like cockatiels are really dusty and that can affect asthma more than, you know, all birds have feather dander, but, you know, cockatiels and other cockatoo type species have a lot of powder down. So there'll be a lot more dusty and things like that as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. That's a good start for me.
All right, good luck, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Appreciate it. Happy days.
Thanks.
Thanks, bye. We might as well check out Pet of the Week.
Sure, sounds good.
So we've got Tiffany, and she's so beautiful. She's a little, she's a little cat. And, yeah, my cat passed away recently, and that cat is looking very good. Very good indeed. Tiffany, she's a short-haired cat who is approximately 1 year old with a shy and gentle personality. Her coat is mostly dark grey with a white chest and beautiful white marking on her face.
Mm, she's really nice. She's nice and symmetrical on her face, so it's quite cute. Looks like she is a little bit of a reserved cat at the beginning, but they do say that she would be good in a family situation. She's good with kids. She seems to get along well with other cats, and they believe she would be fine around calm dogs after a slow introduction, but that she'd also suit a home where she is the only pet as well. So she's probably a little bit nervous. A lot of these rescue cats have, you know, they need a little bit of time to adjust to their new locations. Says she likes to purr. She likes to come and sit in your lap. And that's, you know, I think everybody loves that idea of having a nice lap cat that just comes and sits with you and purrs and has that that nice calming influence. So she is currently at pet quarters at Belmont. So you could head down there and have a look if you think that Tiffany would fit into your family. So
I'll race you. Okay, next we've got Tommy.
Ah, well, this is Tommy. He's a little 10-month-old mini fox terrier. So he is going to be a little bundle of energy. Says he's a very playful, loving 10-month-old mini fox terrier, typical of his breed, and would love to have a play friend. Going well with his house training, is using a doggy door, so that's good. He can take him inside and outside. He would benefit from daily walks and needs some further training. He's not a barker, which is really good. It says he does, he's really affectionate, loves to give you kisses and cuddles. They mentioned again, we do recommend some training classes. So little fox terriers, they are really lovely little dogs. They have lots of energy. They are, you know, they can be a bit noisy, but they say that this little fella isn't. But it really comes down to whether or not they're, you know, bored or stimulated in their environment, whether they're getting adequate exercise. I think oftentimes people look at a little dog and go, oh, I won't need to walk that very much. It's very little. And so they often get under-exercised. But taking these guys for a walk where they get to explore and smell and see the things around them is really, really important. And it can help them to be a much more calm and settled pet at home. So it's really important. It does say that Tommy has not yet been tested with cats or pocket pets. So you're going to need to be cautious if you have other small pets in the house, because these guys do have a bit of a tendency to be chasers sometimes. So if you're interested in him, though, he's already de-sexed and vaccinated, and he's in foster care up in Singleton. So I think give the contact number there, or there's an email to contact if you're interested in little Tommy. He looks very cute.
Just check out our 2NURFM website at 2NURFM.com.au, and you can click on the pet chat section and you will find the pets of the week. Mm-hmm. And they are very, very cute.
Very nice looking little dog.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a question for Dr. Kimberly Earle, you can give us a call 49216216 and you will go in the draw to win a pet food voucher for $50.
So far, hopefully Eddie has a dog, because so far Eddie is getting the pet food voucher. And that's not going to be helpful for him in his aviary, but hopefully he has a dog.
Maybe. This is 2NURFM Pet Chat with Dr. Kimberly Earle. And you want to talk about cats and ticks?
Yeah, cats, ticks, dog both? Sticks? Yeah, one. Both, whatever. Yeah. Well, what can we talk about? We've had a few ticks come into my clinic. We're really lucky we don't get very many. We certainly see a lot of ticks and at this time of year. I know the emergency center has been pretty overwhelmed with ticks. Cats can get ticks too. And we've actually had a cat that was an inside-only cat that so it doesn't go outside into the yard. Occasionally the owners say, occasionally they'll, you know, somebody will go and have a cup of tea outside and the cat will have a walk around. But really it's a 100% inside cat other than that. And that cat came in with a tick, a paralysis tick on its head. And cats are usually pretty fastidious groomers. So, you know, if they can get to the tick before it latches on, they'll actually like get rid of it. But this cat, the tick was on its head, and the cat showed, you know, signs presenting with it was weak and ataxic, which means it was sort of unsteady on its feet, had some difficulty breathing. And because it was an inside only cat, the owners didn't have it on any tick prevention because they didn't think they needed it. But the reality is that ticks are quite mobile. They can come in on your clothing. If you've been out in the bush or walking through the park or anything like that, they can drop down from they'll like to be up high in the bushes, and then they can drop down onto you. And when you come into the house and you know, take your jacket off, they can, you know, show up in the house. And so we would still recommend, even if you've got an inside only cat, particularly if you live around any bushland, you know, protect your cats from tick paralysis. There's lots of really good products these days, top spots that will last them, you know, sort of 2 to 3 months, that are really, really effective, really, really safe. And they'll also prevent fleas. But fleas, unless you're a little teeny tiny kitten, fleas aren't a life-threatening problem. They're just a bit of a nuisance. But ticks in Australia are really, you know, they're still so life-threatening. You know, the ticks that we have here are the worst in the world, really. They're really quite awful. So, and the products that we have these days are, you know, Brevecto? So effective. There's a whole raft of them. So Brevecto, Simparica, NexGard, Credelio. There's a lot of them. What we're always encouraging people is look for a product that is in the isoxazoline class of drugs because those are the more modern drugs. They're really, really effective. They've got excellent safety protocols and safety profiles. It really comes down to compliance. I'm a big believer in Brevecto because if you're using it as a chew, you only have to give it four times a year. They now have their injectable, which is a once a year. So if your dog is, it can't be given to puppies because they're still growing, but if it's a steady body weight, you can give that. You speak to your vet and you can give them that. And then it's done for the whole year. Their top spots last 4 to 6 months. So that's really important as well. Because where we do find that people have really, really good intentions with the monthly products, all the other products are monthlies. And while they're highly, highly effective, they're not very long lasting. And so if you're even 10 days overdue giving it, you know, you think, oh yeah, right, I get my reminder, I've got it marked in the calendar, I've got to go to the store or I've got to order it online and I've got to get it. And it only takes a few extra days being overdue. All of a sudden, you know, your pet comes down with tick paralysis and then they're in really big trouble. So I like something that lasts long time so that we know that the compliance is really good. But that's really important.
Okay.
The other thing that we have seen recently, not seen, I haven't seen it, but I've heard from the local area vets, is that there has been another couple cases of leptospirosis in our area. So I think particularly with all the rain we've been having, I think we need to assume that the Newcastle and Hunter region now is just an endemic leptospirosis region. So this was a couple of years ago was the first time it really reared its ugly head, which is a disease carried by rats. And most dogs will come in contact with it through water and mud puddles, things like that. But they can also get it directly if they are chasing rats and rodents. The issue is not only that does it have a very high fatality rate for your dogs and it's really hard to treat, it is transmissible to humans. And so, you know, I really think our clinic is having a meeting about this, but our baseline vaccine protocol really these days should just be that we're vaccinating all dogs against leptospirosis because in dogs it causes non-treatable kidney failure. In humans it also causes kidney disease. You won't die from it because they can do kidney dialysis, but you'll never recover from it. And so, you know, if we as vets aren't recommending that you're protecting your pet and your family from this nasty disease through vaccination, we're probably being, you know, negligent in keeping the whole whole population, you know, healthy from it. So if your dog has not been vaccinated against leptospirosis, or if particularly if they like to go into puddles and water, things like that, definitely get them vaccinated ASAP.
Okay. This is Pet Chat, and we've got Ken on the line from Toronto. Hi, Ken. You've got a Jack Russell, 17 years old, getting shaky.
Yeah, that's basically it. He's getting a bit old. He's just basically shaky when he walks.
Yep.
And things like that, really.
Yeah, so 17-year-old for Jack Russell Terrier, that is a pretty old little fella. So you've done really, really well to get him to that age. Shaking can come up for a number of different reasons. It can actually be a physical response to pain and discomfort. And certainly a 17-year-old dog would be expected to have some, you know, osteoarthritis of the probably the hips, maybe the knees. The spine is really common in these little guys. But it also can just be a sign of muscle weakness, just like us as humans, as they get older, they do have a hard time maintaining lean muscle mass. And so they can start to become, you know, weak. And so it can literally be like we're standing and we're watching the world go by and our legs start to shake and tremble because he's actually having a hard time to, just to sort of keep himself upright. But I would definitely say if you haven't, you know, checked in with your local vet, there are lots of really, really good things that we can do for these guys to make sure that we're covering them for pain and discomfort. Sometimes that makes a huge difference. There's some great new products around that can help with that. It can also be that there's other, you know, there are other things going on, neurological signs, you know, pinched nerves and backs and things like that can be really common as the osteoarthritis is progressing. They get a condition called spondylosis, which is like a fusion of the spine, and that can sometimes cause weakness down the legs and limbs as well. But if he's otherwise, a fairly well dog, he's still happy to eat and drink and move around, things like that. Obviously, you want to tailor his level of activity to his age, so he's probably not going on very long walks, may need help getting up and down, stairs. A lot of people will get ramps for little dogs at this age so that they don't have to go up and down any stairs or sets of shallow stairs to help them get up onto the lounge or onto the bed. Making sure they're really warm can be helpful, just like you or I. If it's cold and you've got sore, creaky joints, that can make them more stiff. If he needs a little jacket, little Jack Russells don't have a lot of coats. And it hasn't been a very warm spring for us yet, so he may still be feeling the cold a little bit with the damp, those sorts of things. So there's lots of really good things we can do to try to help support him as he's going through his really, you know, sort of geriatric time. But definitely check in with your vet if he's not on any sort of arthritis support. There are lots of different things, and we always want to tackle these guys from a little bit of a multimodal approach so that we're not just relying on any one product. So we're trying to minimize the side effects and maximize the benefits to the pet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We can get up and down the stairs, okay?
So. Great.
And also, Ken, congratulations. You've won our $50 pet voucher.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So we'll be in touch about that.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Good luck, Ken.
Bye. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. You were talking about birds earlier and birds falling out of nests.
Oh, yeah. So it's baby bird season again. And we just want to remind everybody that most of the time as baby birds are coming out of the nest, listen, it's not a perfect solution. You know, they don't just like wake up one morning and go, hey, I can fly today. They often will take a few attempts to, you know, get things going. And unless they've been injured, we really strongly encourage you to either leave them on the ground. The parents will be watching them and will feed them, depending on the species, or get them back up into the nearest tree. If you have a really close look around, you'll probably be able to see the nest. But even if you can't, you know, we get lots of baby tawnies, baby magpies that will, be on the ground. If you don't think that they're in an area that is safe or if you're thinking that they're at risk, we'd encourage you to try to get them back up into the tree. And lots of times we'll tell people to take a like a plastic ice cream container, a little plastic tub, poke a couple holes into it, zip tie it into the tree, and you can just literally put the baby gently up into there, just so it's off the ground from, you know, safe from dogs and cats and things like that. And the parents will feed them. So have a look around if you do see a baby bird. Obviously, if they're injured, if there's blood, you know, then, you know, grab them and bring them into a local vet. But wherever possible, there's no such thing as a carer who can do as good a job as the parents in these cases. So we really want to try to leave them, you know, someplace that the parents can look after them. So, yeah.
Right. Well, and lastly, we still have a little lost puppy.
Yeah, the little fellow out the front is, he's having a little rest now. He's run up and down the hallway, chased his ball a little bit. But we're really hoping that somebody will realize that their dog is gone. Probably that's the thing, is that, you know, somebody's maybe gone off to work and the dog has possibly escaped the fence and he's having a bit of a run and somebody doesn't even realize that their dog is missing. But so he's
Labrador cross
Kelpie, probably. He's Kelpie size. He's probably about maybe 23 kilos, blonde looking, sort of like golden. Yellow Labrador. Yeah. He's a nice young dog. He's got all of his adult teeth, but they're nice and white and he's super friendly. So we really want him to be reunited with his family.
Yeah. So you can give us a call, 49215555. Well, that's pretty much it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That's Pet Chat for this week, and we'll chat to you again next week on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.